time, we're going to hear our scripture reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37.
The parable of the Good Samaritan. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spent.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
Thank you, Christina. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to join with me in our prayer of preparation. May the words of my mouth
and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen. At this time, I invite Christine to come forward to share with us the message for today.
In January of 2007, an astonishing thing happened in New York City. Wesley Autry, a 50-year-old construction worker, and his Navy veteran, was standing on a subway platform with his 2 young daughters, ages 4 and 6, waiting for a train. He was waiting for the downtown local at 137th Street in Broadway in Manhattan around 12:45 p.m. He was taking his 2 daughters, 4 and 6, home before work. And in just a split second, Wesley's life was about to be changed. Suddenly, a man had collapsed, his body convulsing. Mr. Autry and 2 women rushed to help the man. This man came to and managed to get up, but then stumbled to the platform edge and fell into the tracks between the 2 rails. The headlights of the No. 1 train appeared. "I had to make a split decision," Mr. Autry later said. So he made one. He leapt onto the tracks. Mr. Autry laid on top of this man, a complete stranger, his heart pounding. The train's brakes screeched, but it did not stop in time. 5 cars rolled overhead before the train stopped, the cars passing just inches from his head. He had on a blue cap, and the grease from the trains smudged the top of his hat with grease. Mr. Autry heard onlookers screaming, and he looks up and he said, "We're okay down here," he yelled, "but I've got 2 young daughters up on the platform. Let them know their dad is okay." He heard cries of wonder and applause. The power was cut. Workers got them out. "I don't feel like I did anything spectacular. I just saw someone who needed help," Mr. Autry said. "I did what I felt was right." Wesley Autry became a national hero that day. People were deeply moved by his selfless act. They marveled at his bravery. The press called him the Subway Superman, the Harlem Hero. But there was one headline that described Mr. Autry in another way. It read, "The Good Samaritan Saves the Man on Subway Tracks." Now, I think for some of us, when we hear this story, I know for myself, I wonder, if I had been on the subway platform that day, what would I have done? Would I have been as courageous as Mr. Autry? Would I have had what it takes to jump down on those tracks with a train coming down at me to help that man? When push comes to shove, do I put myself first or do I put the needs of others first? Just a moment ago, we heard the story of the Good Samaritan, a story I'm sure we all know very, very well. We see Jesus on his way to Jerusalem being tested by what in those days was considered an expert in the law, a lawyer. He was testing Jesus to see how he would answer some hard theological questions. "In your view," he asked Jesus, "just what do I need to inherit eternal life?" "You're the lawyer," said Jesus. "What does it say in the law?" "Well, the law says, love God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind, and also love your neighbor as yourself." "Well," said Jesus, "there you have it. You're right. Love God fully. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do this, and you will have life." But the lawyer, he was not going to let this go that easily. This expert of the law wanted Jesus to state exactly what terms of loving your neighbor were. He wants to know exactly where does this responsibility fall? Are there limits? He selfishly wants to know and justify that it is okay that he just love his own race, that he just focus his love on his own faith community, and that by loving those close to him within his circle, he has fulfilled the law. He's asking Jesus, "Just what do you mean by neighbor here? Be precise. Who exactly is my neighbor?" You see, this man was asking Jesus, "Who and how much do I have to love?" I think we too are often like that lawyer. We try to take God's commands and smush them into a little box, into something that we can live with, something that feels comfortable for ourselves. But Jesus then begins to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. And in this story, this is something I've learned through studying this passage, there's one thing we all need to understand. There was deep hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. So the last thing that this law expert was expecting to hear was that it was a Samaritan man who helped that person on the side of the road. That Samaritan man, despite the deep hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans, saw this man as his neighbor, as someone who was in need, not as his enemy, not as someone he didn't like, but as someone who needed help and care. This expert of the law realizes he's gotten it all wrong. Loving our neighbors is not only loving those close to him, but loving our neighbors is loving that complete stranger. Loving those who are hard to love. Loving those who are outside of our walls, outside of our box. You see, when Jesus tells this man to go and do likewise, Jesus is speaking to us. He's calling us to love, not just any love, but a love that calls us to leave our own worlds, to leave our own selfish desires and fears, and enter someone else's world, enter someone else's culture, someone else's mentality, someone else's needs. We start being a neighbor to others when we empty ourselves of our selfish desires, when we empty ourselves of our worries and our fears, and we allow an openness and closeness with others. Jesus is clear in the story what he is saying. He's pointing to a sacrifice he made for us on a cross that day. He's telling us to go out into the world and do the same for our neighbors. not just the people we're sitting next to, not just the people we live next to or work with or are in our circles, but the people who are outside, people we don't know. And there are many people that I think of when I read this story. Many people came to mind. But there's one person, as we've been talking about our homegrown heroes, that came to mind as Brian and I were talking, and that's my husband. As many of you know, my husband is an EMT on the River Vale Ambulance Corps. And I have to say, he sacrifices every weekend many things. Sunday nights are his nights that he's on duty. Now, my husband is a truck driver. He gets up at 4:35 o'clock every Sunday, every morning during the weekday, 6 days a week, and he works 14-hour days. 9 times out of 10, when you're an EMT and you're on call, as some of you may know, those calls usually happen at 2-3 in the morning, where someone has fallen and they can't get up, literally, and they need help. My husband does not hesitate to jump out of that bed, put his clothes on, and run down to the building and go take care of someone. He doesn't complain. Some of you who know my husband, he can tend to complain. It happens. We all do it. But this is one area where he does not complain. He finds fulfillment in doing this. And I think we're going to watch a quick video about Vic and a little bit about his world as an EMT. What made you want to become an EMT?
My sister was a nurse. My brother-in-law is a fireman, EMT. And my sister noticed that I wasn't very squeamish about blood, guts. So she suggested I give it a shot. So I took the course, and I liked it from the start. I'm still doing it.
What's your favorite part about being an EMT?
I guess helping people out in the time of need, to sound corny, but that's pretty much it.
Have there been any sort of life lessons that you've learned from being an EMT?
Life lessons? Yeah, don't give up. Just not how sick you get, just keep on going.
Have you ever had a call that made you realize something about yourself?
Yeah. That the beginning of my life, I was always nasty and stuff like that, and then I'm helping these people out being an EMT. And I realized that life isn't about being nasty. It's about helping people out and all that kind of stuff, I guess.
What's your most memorable story of helping people or helping someone, a kid or an older person or something?
I had a bunch of them. I had a couple of them. I had two different calls where kids were drowning or pretty much drowned. I guess some of the gooier ones stick out. But there's a few of them where a little while after we get the call and we go to the next meeting and people are sending letters, how much they appreciate us coming and helping them out at all hours of the day and night. That's about it. Pretty much it.
You talked about the call, you know, when you said the kid's drowning, there was the one call that you had where the girl was in the pool and she had drowned, and you were honored for that. You were given an award and everything. Do you see yourself as a hero?
Nah. I pretty much see myself as doing what I was trained to do. I don't think there's any particular say there's no particular person that's a hero or not a hero. Anybody that would help somebody out drowning would be a hero. But I think that's pretty much in all of us.
Do you think God
want you to help people as an EMT? Do you think maybe God put you in this position for a reason?
Yeah, I would think so. If you want me to be an EMT, obviously I wouldn't be doing it. I think everybody should have something to do with being like some kind of an EMT or something. Everybody should help somebody out in one way.
Cool.
Cool. As we end our videos in our house. Everybody should help somebody out in one way or another. As he said, it's in us. Being a hero isn't just running programs, getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to run into burning buildings or take care of somebody. It's within all of us. Mr. Autry was not your average person. Neither was the Samaritan man. They each saw only a person in need of assistance, and they went above and beyond the minimum required. Mr. Autry put his life at risk in front of his daughters to save someone else's life. And the Samaritan looked past the hatred and saw a man on the side of the road, had compassion for him, and helped him. Both Mr. Autry and the Samaritan, at great cost, went and saved someone. And that's exactly what Jesus calls us to do. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. As you know, I usually challenge the kids in Sunday school and the youth group with something for the week. And I'm challenging you this week. As we leave here today, I want you to think of two things as we go through every day of this week. One, who's around me? What people do I come in contact with? Not your neighbor, not the person you live with, not your close friend, but maybe a coworker that you don't normally talk to. Maybe a cashier at the register at ShopRite. And then think, what need might they have that I can provide? What do you have in your heart, even if it's just offering to pray for them? Step out and do it. We are called to be people who have a heart of kindness, mercy, and tenderness to all that we encounter. May we all go out and serve in little and in big things. In Jesus' name, amen.